Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on, with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctors are in. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Dr. Denise.
Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. I'm glad you're on board with us today, and we're going to talk about this question. When you think it might be time to consider some changes for an aging family member, where do you start? That's going to be the topic for our show today. We have got a guest in the studio. I'll introduce him in a moment. First of all, I want to remind you that this is a show for boomers and beyonders where we provide tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. What I'm trying to do is to help people understand the importance and the value of living a life of purpose, a life of focus that is rewarding and fulfilling, particularly as we make those unique contributions into the lives of others. So I am your host today, Dr. Dan Critchett. Happy to have you along. And I'm here with a guest who I've been working for quite a while to get Mark into the studio here. And Mark Derkoop is the name, and he is with Genesis Life Transitions. And more from Mark and from the for the critical topic of change and transition with senior adults coming up. So stay tuned. I want to remind you that on our show today, we rotate five different topic areas. They are number one, home and family. Number two, health and wellness. Number three, budget and finances. Number four, heart and soul. And number five, work and purpose. So we'll get to Mark and the topic in a moment. I want to start with our usual first feature, and that is the feature, Who Said That? And I go out there and I find a quote that is relevant for our topic for today, and I already shared it with Mark, and he said it's okay that we use this quote, so we're going to go with it. Here's the quote, and it is specifically designed to add some flavor and some insight to our topic for today, having to do with change and transition in our aging family members. And so here's the quote. The best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing you can do is the wrong thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing. That's our quote for today. I'm going to lead right out with our first clue so you can start thinking about it. The last couple of times we've done Who Said That, I really stumped everybody in the studio here. And I don't know if some of the listeners have gotten it. We don't have a call-in line available. So, but here's the first clue for that quote. The person who said that, this man was the youngest U.S. president being inaugurated at age 42. All right, now you can race to your Wikipedia or to your Google and figure that out. We'll see. So that's what who said that. That's the first clue. So, and I want to move right on to the pop portion of our show. That is the power of purpose. I'm so absolutely persuaded that living a purposeful and purpose-filled life is the only way to go. And if you haven't gotten to that point in your life, and if you've crossed the 50-yard line or the 50-year-old line, you really want to listen carefully to a whole series of our programs because we're trying to lay down some very, very valuable content. So so us in our boomer generation and even our parents as beyonders, boomers and beyonders, that we live a life that is rich and purposeful and meaningful, and that's really what God intended. So we are to chapter 15 in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and the title of the chapter is Formed for God's Family. And I'm just going to lift out a couple of key insights from that chapter. The first at the top of the chapter is a quote from 1 John 3, verse 1. It says, "See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children. And we really are." So in that verse and in many others throughout Scripture, we find that God is our Heavenly Father and He wants to have a family. And so Rick Warren says, you were formed for God's family. God wants a family and He created you to be a part of it. I don't know if you think about that very often, but God intends for you to be a part of His family, and what a special calling that is. Another piece out of the chapter, he says, when we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father, we become His children, other believers become our brothers and sisters, and the church becomes our spiritual family. The family of God includes all believers in the past, the present, and the future. And then this last couple of parts here, your spiritual family is even more important than your physical family, because it, your spiritual family, will last forever. And here's another scripture passage. God has reserved a priceless inheritance for His children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. So as a pastor and a preacher and a teacher for many years, I love giving this sort of calling and this sort of promise, because it's right out of God's words. It's His very voice speaking to us that we are His children. He is our Father. We are brothers and sisters. I'm sitting here with Mark in the studio, and he and I are brothers, not blood relatives. We're not related that we know of in our families, but we are brothers in Christ, and we are family members together. So concluding the chapter with this note, being included in God's family is the highest honor and the greatest privilege you will ever receive. Nothing else comes close. Whenever you feel unimportant, unloved, or insecure, remember to whom you belong. And you can say, I was formed for God's family. Very true. I want to say why I chose that that quote, first of all. And again, the quote is, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing. Because again, as a pastor and involved with a ministry and with people of all generations and ages, sometimes we find ourselves in a little bit of inertia, I think. We kind of get frozen by having to make a decision, and so we end up doing nothing. Normally, if we do nothing, we pay the price later, and so I think it's very important, and Mark's going to help us understand the answer to the question, what should we do when it begins to look like maybe we need to introduce some changes for an aging family member? So I want to get right into introducing Mark today. Again, his name is Mark Derkoop. We were chatting a little bit before the show started about his background and in his theological education and training. So he is a pastor, a longtime ministry leader in a number of different fields. And of particular interest today is the fact that that Mark wears the hat of executive director of Genesis Life Transitions. And so we're going to ask Mark to help us with that question, the question being when it starts to look like we might need to consider some changes for an aging family member, where do you start? So, Mark, maybe we could get started with that question and just head right into it. So you're the executive director of Genesis Life Transitions. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a nonprofit ministry organization?
No, it is. It is a business.
Oh, it's a business. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good.
Yeah.
And tell me, what age and stage of transitions do you work with that organization?
Well, our focus is the elder care area, working with aging and those that are transitioning into different levels of care, whether it's assisted, skilled, or memory care. The reality is, though, that that area also does involve younger groups beyond, mm-hmm. you know, and especially with the onset of early dementia, early Alzheimer's, and the age is getting lower and lower, that is becoming a broader group. But that is mainly our focus is okay. Elder care.
And when you talk about elder care, and we'll get to some of these details, excuse me, you're talking about a facility, or you're talking about home care or group therapy or all kinds of different
things? It can be any and all of it. That, okay. You know, it, there certainly, because of finances and planning and just the sheer numbers, you know, the growth of the in-home care industry is, mm-hmm. is huge, because of the growth of the age group that we're talking about as well. And so, in-home, care facilities, the whole gambit there, and they're all necessary, especially because of the numbers we're facing in the
right.
years ahead.
Right. So I'm picturing a family, and my family has gone through this a couple of times in the last 7-8 years. My dad started showing signs of loss of memory and so forth, and he was in a lot of pain, and my mom was caring for him, hero-like, you know, stamina and activity. And we thought, gosh, you know, mom's getting worn out. She might die first. So things progressed, and we never did move dad to a facility. Mm-hmm. But I think we would have been benefited by talking to someone like you to even help us know what are the transitions and what should we be considering? What are our options? What should we do? So maybe you can tell us about what are the transitions that that start coming about, and who in the family is or should be involved in the consideration of those, how to handle those transitions.
Well, although my training that I'm utilizing is mediation, the fact is I am really filling a coaching role as much as possible, helping families who are facing that, because we do think of aging somewhat, but we never think it completely through and how we're going to be affected. And we make lots of promises. We promise our spouse or our parents that, no, we'll never put you in a home. But the realities of aging, whether they're physical or mental, often are game changers that we could never even imagine. And so you have caregivers who are challenged with some huge responsibilities and tireless.
Right.
You know, the load is difficult, and not knowing what resources are out there. And so a lot of what we do, or what I do, is just helping families kind of come around and here they're having a struggle with, you know, one sister is taking care and is exhausted. And so helping families kind of work through the need to be more equitable with the responsibilities,
right.
or how can we do it more effectively so that we don't have a caregiver who is developing physical needs themselves,
right.
just because of the selfless act that they're doing in caregiving.
Right. I was given a statistic recently, and I'm not sure what the source is, but this is a person who's developing caregiver ministries to help and to facilitate and support people who are doing the caregiving, not professionally, but, and the statistic is the category of unpaid caregivers, usually family members. And the number in the U.S. is somewhere around, give or take, 50 million people
yes.
who are unpaid caregivers. That is not only a huge number, but I can tip a little bit into that subject with my own family experience, because I, you know, mom cared for dad for a long, long time, and she was nearly exhausted. Dad died, and then mom kind of perked back up again for a little while, kept her home and worked in the yard and all of that stuff. And then I think what happened was that nobody needed her anymore. Her kids didn't need her. Her grandkids didn't need her anymore, and her husband didn't need her anymore. So she just sat down one Monday evening. I think I was telling you this earlier. Mm. Sat down on the couch one Monday evening in the family room and was going to watch Dancing with the Stars and Castle, her favorite routine, you know, for Monday night. And she just leaned over and expired. She just gave up. And talk to that a little bit, and maybe you have another story, or when people get into this stage, maybe they don't even know what the options are, what's necessary to deal with and get the family together and make decisions together. And, you know, how does all that work in a real sense?
Well, the reality is we do have a lot more family caregivers, mainly because of either lack of planning mm-hmm. or lack of facility. And as this generation, the boomer generation, is retiring in huge masses, you know, some may have heard the term the silver tsunami. You know, we're talking 10,000 people a day in that age group who are retiring and obviously aging, and those needs are growing. We cannot keep up with facilities and so forth. So in-home and family care is really going to be a mm-hmm. huge part of this. But we don't come to our families always having great family systems or having skilled abilities in dealing with some of the conflicts that arise as we transition. We're facing families and role reversals. We're talking about parents who, now it's kids parenting their parents. Mm-hmm. Or you have, exactly like you said, caregivers who are taking care of their spouse, but in many ways are already beginning the grieving process, right, if we're talking about Alzheimer's or dementias. And so there's a lot of transition on both sides are going. It's not just the individual who's physically struggling. So as we look at this, there's a number of ways that we can come and help a family work through together how to be moving forward in this transition more effectively.
Great. We're going to hear more about that from Mark Durkoop right after the break. And I want to introduce the spot here for Dignity Memorial. I have said on this show and other places that I actually still work with Dignity Memorial, and I help people make those kinds of pre-planning decisions so that the death of a loved one doesn't catch you by surprise when you have to gather some opinions or information about, well, what would mom have wanted? You know, what kind of casket, or did she want cremation? You do these things ahead of time. You set it in place, and you fund it with the very simple funding mechanisms. And so we have a spot here for Dignity, our flagship sponsor, and I would like to have you just listen closely to that. And then on the other side of the break, I'm going to give you some contact information. So if this is something that you are interested, even in just getting some information, we are more than ready and willing to help you with that. So we'll go to our break, and then we'll come back.
Life is a journey, and it really helps to have a roadmap, especially during your golden years of life. There are at least 80 senior living communities and 1,100 adult care homes in just the Greater Portland, Vancouver metro area. At no cost to you or your family, you can plan now for the right fit for yourself or loved ones. Golden Placement Services is the roadmap to your new home. In four simple steps, assessment, research, touring, and follow-up, the Golden Girls will help you prepare for the next part of your journey.
We found Golden Placement Services to be very helpful to us in locating a care facility for our father. They asked good questions to ascertain what kind of facility we were looking for. We were taken to a few homes that fit the criteria we were seeking, and we're very happy with the care our dad's receiving from the facility found for us by Golden Placements.
Visit our website at goldenplacements.com to learn more. That's goldenplacements.com, or call one of the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145, and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Have you ever had to go through the painful process of helping to plan a funeral for someone you love? It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about it, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you through the process of planning. It also gives you helpful worksheets to ease the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries will even help you complete your plan. There are a lot of reasons to plan ahead that I can think of. For one thing, you can make sure your final wishes are respected. You'll be sparing loved ones the added grief of planning for you. And if you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation. There are a lot of very good reasons to pre-plan your own funeral arrangements with Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries, including the free planning guide. And now is a great time to give them a call. Call anytime, night or day, 503-747-7128.
Dignity Memorial. We have about 15 funeral homes, 15 locations around the Portland metropolitan area. And one of the missions of Dignity Memorial in our area here is to provide information and instruction for how this whole process works. Because I guess I can go back to the quote, you know, the worst thing you can do is nothing. It's even better to do, according to that quote, it's even better to do the wrong thing than to do nothing. I have been a number of times in the arrangement room at a funeral home when the family has come in, death has occurred. And so I'm asking the question, do you think that your dad would have preferred a casket burial or cremation? Oh, I don't know, you know, and then the son has one opinion and the daughters have another opinion. So then we've got conflict, we've got uncertainty, and then we have to work that through. And it's just a really, really stressful time for a family that is already experiencing the loss of a loved one and grief and loss and all of that stuff. So what I want to say to you is in our area, Dignity Memorial has free information seminars. And when I say free, they have been sponsoring when you have a free breakfast or brunch or a free dinner. And those change locations and dates and so forth. So you want to find out where one could be available. There is no cost or obligation, but you want to go and get some information. It will be helpful for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to make any decisions at these informational seminars. It's just starting to get the information together. So you don't do the worst thing, which is to do nothing. So go to our website, secondhalfnow.com. And there's a couple of response opportunities there. You'll see them when you get there. Also, if you'd like to dial a number and leave a message and request information, you can do that with this phone number, local number 971-229-1177. That number again, 971-229-1177. So we're back from the break, and I'm going to give the second clue for our quote. I love this quote because I find so many people that don't do anything and they're kind of frozen, right, Mark? I mean, you learn that all the time, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the quote is so appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking about end of life transitions and aging.
Right.
Clearly.
Well, I think even back to my situation, you know, had mom known what her options were, I mean, she was frozen because, I mean, what do we do? I mean, you know, she promised my daddy she wouldn't place him in a home. But truth is, that might have been the very best place for him and for her.
Yeah.
Right?
It sometimes is. Yeah. And the right community as well that works for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Community. Mm-hmm. And I hear this term being used, and what you mean by that is a facility. It's a assisted living or an independent living or a nursing home but a community.
Community focused on your care.
Right.
You know, holistically.
Good.
You know, emotionally.
I like that. Okay. So I want to read the quote again. The best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing you can do is the wrong thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing. Here's the second clue. Tragedy struck this person's life early when his wife and his mother died the same day in the same house of totally unrelated medical causes. Mark has a furrowed brow. He's not quite sure. I could give a couple of very obvious clues, and I would totally give it away, but I'm going to keep it a little bit cryptic this time. And those are the clues. I love the quote, and those clues will come back actually on the second half, on the podcast side, and we'll give the third clue and the answer. So you got to stay tuned. Get over to the podcast when you're done listening to this one. Well, let's get back to our discussion, Mark. We were talking about the transitions and making decisions and seeking help. And let me just ask, what is the right thing for a family? Let's just say one family member starts to realize that, you know, mom has forgotten her car keys where they are, or forgot where the flour is in her kitchen, or, you know, dad forgot to take the garbage out. You know, the kinds of things where you start seeing patterns. And so what should a single family member do when they start to think, okay, it might be time for some changes?
Well, to open up discussion. You know, it's a hard place to go. We don't like to talk about aging or our physical struggles. We, you know, and certainly death. But the reality is to begin those conversations.
Right.
And just saying, what plans do you have? You know, we're very focused at Genesis on people being able to have a voice in their care and in their aging as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very biblical, too,
right.
That it's a part of honoring our parents.
Sure.
You know, that we want them to have that voice as long as possible. And so starting the conversation and then beginning to have plans together so that are understood by everyone and agreed to. And that sometimes does take an outside party.
Right.
Just any bit of planning is preparation and gets you down the road a little bit further.
Let me rewind that a little bit and have you focus on this question. When it is time to bring it up, do you bring it up, first of all, with someone else in the family? Or do you bring it up with the aging family member? You know, who should you initiate that conversation with first?
Well, I think if as siblings you work well together, or if there's family members that work well together, I think just being able to come to mom and dad and say, we have some concerns. What have you been thinking about? And just, you know, again, it's just that first step.
I like that.
You know, I think that even if they don't have plans, they appreciate that you're caring for them,
right.
You know, and focused on their well-being. And that really is where we always start, is what is the bottom line? We want our parents or our loved one to be safe and happy and have good quality life as long as possible. And that's a good starting point.
Right. And to preserve their own personal dignity for as long as possible.
Right.
Would you think that by the time another family member brings it up, that the senior or the aging person or the one that is sort of declining, it doesn't come as a surprise to them because they maybe know themselves that they've gotten forgetful or that they're having trouble, you know, standing by themselves, you know, for very long periods. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the time they bring it up, I think there may in some cases be a sense of relief.
Yeah. More often than not, they have hidden it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they're starting to realize they can't hide it.
Right.
You know, and that obviously is a big stepping point into needing to make some changes. And how a family embraces that and does it lovingly is going to certainly get you further down the road. It's never an easy process.
Right.
Whether it's giving up the keys or moving out of the home. You know, all of those are huge.
Oh, huge.
And if you can talk together about what are the trigger points that we're going to decide on a family, force us to really look at them openly and honestly, then you have a better chance of being able to move through this without conflict.
I like the term trigger points, and I want to learn more about those on the other side here when we go to the podcast. Right now, I just want to remind our listeners that we have these different areas that we deal with, and we have some guests coming in over the next weeks. One under the category of budget and finances, an estate planning attorney. We have a couple of gals coming in who operate an intergenerational activity and daycare center, fabulous service in the Portland area here, resolving conflict, dealing with transitions, those kinds of things. In fact, we're talking about that today. And we also want to have an elder law attorney come in and give us wisdom on the matters, the legal matters that have to be dealt with. We're going to talk some more with Pastor Mark Derkoop with Genesis Life Transitions. I'm looking at him, getting my clue. I'm saying the right thing here, yeah. And you want to be sure to tune into our shows on Mondays, drive time, 5:30 to 6 p.m. right here on KKPZ. And then all of the content, both the broadcast portion and the second half on the podcast, you want to go to secondhalfnow.com. Should be pretty easy to navigate to listen to previous shows. We're still working on the website and getting things dialed in there. So be patient with us as we get going. So to contact us, there's a couple of response forms and ways to communicate with us on the website, secondhalfnow.com. You can dial in and leave a message and we will respond to it. And that local number is 971-229-1177. And you want to go and hear all the content there. I want to thank you for listening today. Thank you, Mark, for being in the studio. Don't go anywhere because we're going to go to the other side on the podcast. Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Let's continue our conversation on the podcast. We'll see you there.
Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctors are in. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Dr. Denise.
Welcome to the second half of Second Half Now. The first half was on the regular broadcast, heard on KKPZ 1330, and it airs 5:30 to 6 on Mondays. And now this exclusive podcast here is not on air. This is the conclusion of our conversation with Pastor Mark Derkoop, and we're going to kind of frame that again as we continue here our conversation with him. So you want to go to secondhalfnow.com and find all the podcasts They're very topic related and very important for us boomers and beyonders in our age and stage of life. That's what we're trying to do, is to establish good, valuable content for all of us going through these transitions. So I'll introduce again our guest in studio here, Pastor Mark Durkrup. He's the Executive Director of Genesis Life Transitions. And Mark is going to help us dig a little deeper into the question and the topic for today, which is, when you think it might be time to consider some changes for an aging family member, where do you start? So let's get back into that, Mark. And where do you start? And I want to pick up something that we left kind of hanging there. You said when families are realizing it is time to even start thinking about some changes that we might want to introduce. It's not that we're yanking, you know, Grandpa out of his own home right now. It's a process, right? So we're gathering information, we're making observations. And I asked you a question during the break. Is it common for families to have different opinions about what should be done? And you kind of chuckled at that. So I guess it is very common.
It is common. I mean, we're brothers and sisters, and we grew up together, and we all have our roles. And those roles continue on throughout our life. And when we come to issues of transitioning and aging, some of those roles are very effective. Mm-hmm. And some of those roles do change, which are quite surprising. And so sometimes you have the baby who's making a lot of decisions.
Right.
And that is, you know, depending on the family and the system and the communication, that can be a challenge for some. We also have obviously lots of responsibilities that we're dealing with, whether it's daily care, ongoing care, powers of attorney, financial expectations or roles that we have to play. You know, all of these different elements that we have to take care of, because we are getting to a point where we're parenting mom and dad, or at least taking a large part of the responsibility, right, and eventually all. And so, yeah, we come to this in our roles, and we come to it with our certain thinking patterns that are pretty well established.
Sure.
So they can be a challenge.
Well, and then given that, then if there is disagreement or discord in the family, you had mentioned earlier about bringing in outside help. Now, that's something that you actually do. So right. Tell us about the mediation and the coaching and those kinds of things that where you can actually facilitate and help a family come to agreement about what could and should be done next.
Well, the early part of this, when we're recognizing that there are some issues with mom and dad and we begin these discussions, a coach can come in, or I can come in as a coach to help you kind of recognize what are the possibilities that we're facing as far as care, as far as what we need for end-of-life decisions and the gambit of that, and help you kind of sort through what you're facing, also giving you lots of tools. So we do lots of presentations, lots of trainings on this about planning for aging and care, which we can talk about, but also because some families are very involved, whether it's businesses that are involved in families or families who are spread out across the United States. We can also come in as a formal mediator when conflict is pretty significant and help a family kind of come together on the table and, again, get focused on what the real issue is that mom and dad's care is at most. And let's make sure that we're working together to make that quality.
Right. No, that's valuable. I can see that. Just talking about the right issues and trying to understand what the options are, what maybe the impact or the consequences would be of a variety of different ways to go with a particular decision, and then coming to agreement about what actually should be done. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You know, we one of the presentations that we do is the decision tree of aging, and it is geared specifically for families to kind of realize what are the root systems that we're going to be working from. And those are basically that we have financial decisions to make and planning to put in place. Mm-hmm. We have to be prepared to fund whatever our plan is, right, and whatever the care situations we face. Then there's the care situation. Is it in home? Is it going to be in community? What are the communities that are available to us, and what do they do? And there's a wide gambit between, you know, retirement living all the way to memory care and beyond. So That's also a part that we work on. And then we have who are our support teams, family, community, church, that are going to play a role, especially if we're going to be in a caregiver situation in the home. That caregiver needs support systems as well as the individual they're caring for. And then end-of-life decisions specifically. Where are we going with this, and how do we make this plan work all the way to the end?
Right. And so it's folks of our generation that are in a situation of having to make these kinds of decisions in consultation with the rest of the family and the parents, right? I'm telling about my my own personal situation where both my dad and my mom went through the process, and you know, we had a couple of family meetings, and we kind of came to conclusions, and you know, working together, making agreeable decisions. But I can imagine that it doesn't always quite go that smoothly, and I'm not sure we even did the right things. So you're going to say something, and then I want to ask another question.
Well, it's just that you are making decisions, but we learn as we go. There's the quote too, that we learn from doing wrong things as well.
Right.
And in my own situation, my parents passed away, both of them, over the last year, and we worked well together. Mm-hmm. But now that I know what I know, I wish we would have made a lot of decisions earlier on and got them into the right care community.
Right.
Because we kind of exacerbated some of the struggles that they were having physically and emotionally as they aged. Yeah. And I wish we hadn't.
Sometimes we don't face a question or a decision until it's right in our face, right?
Right.
And so I'm just thinking, I want to hear more about your presentations, because this would be sort of a neutral, no cost, no obligation opportunity to go and just gather some information and get some outside voice that talks about what are some of the issues and the decision tree.
The decision tree of aging, yes.
Sounds very, very important. But I can just imagine that the more, I mean, we're in an information age, right? So, I mean, you can look it up online and you can do Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. But there's something about getting accurate, thorough information from a professional that, and to help go through that process, that I can imagine would be very, very helpful. Tell us about your presentations. Where are they? When are they? What do they look like? What do they sound like? How does a person find out where they're being offered?
Well, we are giving presentations all the time. We do some trainings from our office in Beaverton. And we also speak in churches. We speak in a lot of care communities. So you can find information, how to get a hold of us through your website, mm-hmm. And find out where different trainings are going on. Because we'll probably, the decision tree, we do quite a few times throughout the year in churches and so forth. And it's always free and available. And then you have the benefit also of being able to contact us and individually as a family arranging to go through the decision tree and actually do the full planning as well.
Okay. So if someone's listening who's maybe a part of a church, could be a pastor or could be a member of the church, and says, you know what, that would be a good thing for us to offer to our families at our church. That's something that you could receive a request like that and work with them towards setting up a presentation.
And as an outreach to the seniors in your community, whether in your family as well. These are important decisions for a huge growing populace.
Absolutely.
And so it's a great opportunity for outreach too as well.
Going back to a number that you mentioned, and it is true, this year, 2014, is the last year of the boomer generation who will turn 50, because the boomer generation goes for those born between 1946 and 1964. So, but back to your number, today 10,000 American citizens will turn 50. That's putting the whole bunch together and dividing up by 365 or whatever the math is. But and that just becomes an enormous bulge, you know, in this garden hose. It's like a basketball going through a garden hose of the age and stage demographic. And so we are dealing with the manifestations of aging. And you and I aren't at that stage yet. I don't think we're forgetful yet and losing our capacities. But we've seen our parents go through that, and it will come for us too. So I'm really curious about how to provide this resource on the ground for folks. And again, we'll get a contact from our website, secondhalfnow.com. There's a form that can be submitted. There's also an email address there, and then a contact number. You can just call local number 971-229-1177, 971-229-1177. And we will relay that inquiry or that request onto Pastor Mark Dirkoop with Genesis Life Transitions. And if you want to ask about presentations or availability or the coaching and mediation services, all those kinds of things, very, very helpful. So can you tell us a story maybe about someone who you have helped and you saw the benefit of just them being available, being open to have someone else come in and deal with the conflict or the discord in the family about making a decision? Can you tell us about one of those?
Certainly. There was a family that I worked with recently where it was five sisters. Mm. And dad had passed away a year or two ago, and now mom was at a point where she needed to go into care. But really, dad had been, you know, the captain of that ship.
Yeah.
And so for the first time, they were having to really make these decisions, and they were struggling with it, and they were waiting, and they were waiting, and they were waiting, because they knew it involved selling property, selling rental properties,
as well
as finding the right care community for mom and so forth. And so they just needed someone to come in and help them parse out what the responsibilities were for each of them and just give them that okay to move forward. And so after, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours of just talking through the communication issues that they had as a family, you know, that they had to work through to be able to be effective at this, then we were able to make, you know, dole out the responsibilities, and mom was in a care community within 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, and you know, the emails continue of appreciating that they're able to move forward and the transition has gone well, and they are working well together in mom's care, giving her the honor and respect that they wanted to as her daughters.
Oh, what a great resolution then from what could have been a lot of fog, a lot of darkness out there about, you know, what do we do and, you know, who decides what and, you know, all the uncertainties of that transition. Was that an urgent matter of timeliness, or was it just a matter that they came together? And
it was coming to a point where mom being in her own home was not safe.
Right.
So there's
right.
some urgency there. It wasn't a crisis yet.
Right.
Too often we do face this when it's already at a crisis point and mom's needing to be somewhere tomorrow or maybe even last week.
Yeah.
Or caregivers who are so exhausted and need that. Need that change for them to survive.
Right.
And that's unfortunate when we get to that, but it often does happen.
I'm thinking about a very common situation where a mom falls and breaks a hip, or there's a surgery, or there's something, and then they go from the hospital to a rehab center, and then it is decided either by the medical professionals or the family that, well, he or she can't go back home, so now we have to make some decisions about what could be next, what should be next. And that's more of an urgent or a more timely rather than the long drawn out when you start first seeing those signs.
Right.
Can you speak to that?
Yeah. Well, it is, because as soon as you go into skilled nursing there, especially if there's Medicare or Medicaid involved, there is a time sensitive issue. Right. You are on the clock at that point. You have a set amount of time that is covered for you to be in rehab or, you know, those, that sort of a community or skilled nursing as you would have it. So yeah, you are against the clock to figure out the right place for mom. And with, you know, politics aside, some of the medical world this day and age too have some real say into that because they don't want people coming back into the hospital that quickly. So there's a lot of people involved in making those decisions and a short time to do it.
Yeah. And that shortness of time probably adds to the stress a little bit, right?
It does.
But it gets the job done sooner because we don't have choice, you know, if the, what do you call it when a person is discharged? I think that's the term, right? When they're discharged, when you've got a date on the calendar, well, what are we going to do? Well, if mom can't go back home, then we got to gather the family around and make a decision that everybody's going to end up being okay with, even if it wasn't their own first choice.
Yes, and with the numbers that we're facing, that doesn't mean that there is openings for everyone.
Right.
And so there's waiting lists, and there's guidelines, and there's do you fit who we can care for. So there's a lot of things in play.
Yeah. Let's go back to our quote. Who said that? Speaking of making decisions and taking action, who said that? Here's the quote. The best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing you can do is the wrong thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing. And I'm hearing that a lot from Mark here, that you don't want the family just to hem and haw and shuffle around and aw shucks and what are we going to do and not get anything done. Here's the first two clues. The man who said this was the youngest U.S. president being inaugurated at age 42. Second clue is tragedy struck his life early when his wife and his mother died the same day in the same house of totally unrelated medical issues. We're going to have the third clue and the answer after we take a break. Again, introducing our flagship sponsor, Dignity Memorial. If you, as a listener, haven't thought about or gathered the information that you're satisfied with in this whole area of pre-planning and even looking into that information, get a hold of our website or call the message line and get some information about the free, no-cost, no-obligation seminars that are being hosted around the town. We have one coming up at Edgefield. We've had them in some nice restaurants, a brunch or a breakfast or a dinner. Information that is going to be very, very helpful. Don't do nothing, and go get those go get that information. All right, here's our spot for Dignity Memorial.
Have you ever had to go through the painful process of helping to plan a funeral for someone you love? It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about it, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you through the process of planning. It also gives you helpful worksheets to ease the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries will even help you complete your plan. There are a lot of reasons to plan ahead that I can think of. For one thing, you can make sure your final wishes are respected. You'll be sparing loved ones the added grief of planning for you. And if you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation. There are a lot of very good reasons to pre-plan your own funeral arrangements with Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries, including the free planning guide. And now is a great time to give them a call. Call anytime, night or day, 503-747-7128.
Do you have an elderly parent that is becoming isolated, not eating well, feeling depressed or fearful of losing independence? Do you know your options? Need peace of mind or know what is best for yourself or others during their golden years of life? At no cost to you or your family, Golden Placement Services can give you hope in the midst of great change, even if it means staying at home is the right option. Call the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145 and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Okay, welcome back. I really want to remind you folks that these informational seminars around the Portland area put on by Dignity Memorial, no cost, no obligation. You'll walk in with some questions and some wonderings. You'll come out having a lot more information about what can be done and the next steps that you might want to be taking to put a plan in place for yourself or for a loved one. So back to our conversation with Mark Durkoop and Genesis Life Transitions. I'm going to give the third clue to our quote for today, who said that? And I got to keep reading it over and over again because I really love it. The best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing you can do is the wrong thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing. Here's the third clue. This person developed a fascination with the world of nature very early in his life. At age 7, he learned taxidermy, opened his own little museum to the public, and at age 9, published a paper entitled The Natural History of Insects. At age 9, I think I was still pounding nails in the backyard fence at age 9, building sandcastles at the beach. So we're heading toward wrapping up here, and I want to get back in the discussion with Mark here. about life transitions and about the service that his organization provides and how useful and how helpful it is. In fact, I would say how necessary to consider the realm and the range of services that we need when we start to learn that that one of our aging family members is going to need some extra help. So, Mark, when should a family or a family member begin to consider even just gathering information about your services?
Well, I think now. I think the earlier we plan, because we're horrible procrastinators, yes, as a race. So starting now, but especially if you're seeing red flags or trigger points.
Yeah.
Whether it's some poor financial decisions, or if there's physical issues that you're noticing, mm-hmm, once you're recognizing them, it means they're probably a little further along than you imagined.
Right.
Or just memory issues that are more than just the "where are my keys," but you're recognizing a stumble over a name or a memory that should normally be consistent. And those are usually short term memory things. Long term memory goes later. So if it's the short term, someone they met today, someone they met yesterday, and those sorts of things. So if you see any of those, it is time to be really looking, because we make those decisions before those decisions are taken out of our hands,
right,
and be able to do that for our folks.
So if Dad is backing into other cars in the parking lot, it's time to take notice and get some information, right?
Right.
Can you be a little bit more specific with some of those trigger points that you call them? Some things that if a person is listening right now might even be a little bit more observant, you know, raise the awareness a little bit. What would they be looking for?
Well, like I said, some short-term memory issues.
Right.
And so you've had a discussion with mom and dad, even within the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, when did we talk?
Right.
I don't remember that, okay, or whatever. And they'll just be subtle things, but they'll stand out as you start to recognize, oh, I got to look for these.
Right.
You'll start seeing them. Certainly ongoing or escalating physical issues,
right,
as well. So those are any of those are, and backing into vehicles. You know, I think deciding when to take the keys is probably one of the biggest challenges we have with families.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially with men.
Yes.
Yeah. We love our keys. We love our cars. We love the freedom and the control or power, whatever it is. And boy, that's one of the last things to go for us, right? And yet, I mean, even now, the Oregon Department of Motor Vehicles is issuing to people in their 80s, they're issuing 8-year driver's licenses.
Yes.
You don't have to come in for a vision test or for, you know, a capability test or anything.
Right.
Amazing.
Well, but they'll also take license away. You can anonymously report. There are some secrets in your back pocket.
Okay.
I'll tell you, and we always think the doctor will be the one to tell them. And some of them will do that if it's a long-time physician. But doctors don't like to do that, and they notoriously stay away from difficult topics as well.
Right.
There are some secrets to the trade of how to get around that issue.
And those are some of the tools that you can help a family with if you're involved with them with coaching and mediation and decision tree and all those kinds of things.
And how to open those conversations if they're just difficult to have.
Right. Let me ask you this very specific question. During the break, we were talking about, you know, mom is ordering, things off of QVC and, you know, UPS keeps showing up at the door and she's draining her account. And, you know, I mean, she's just having a good time, I suppose. But is it, and I'm sure you can deal with specific cases with families when you meet with them, is it appropriate for a family to ask to see the financial transactions that an aging parent is involved with? I mean, even before having a power of attorney, is it, or maybe when you see a bunch of stuff piled up in the corner, mm-hmm, you know, with fresh unpacked or unopened boxes? I mean, I'm kind of fishing for something here,
right,
because the financial management or mismanagement can be just very normal and natural for an aging person who doesn't really realize what they're doing. Is it okay for a family member to feel like they maybe just sneak a peek at the checkbook or look at the statement, or, you know, how do you do that?
Oh, that you made that an ethical question right at the end.
I did, but, yeah.
I think the question is, if your parents were standing on the end of a cliff, would you pull them back? Would you do what you can to make sure they didn't fall?
Right.
And the answer obviously is yes.
Right.
And so if there's anything you're concerned about, anything that you're seeing red flags in that issue, then I think it's just, again, to open up the conversation and say, you know, I'm seeing this. Can we just talk openly and honestly about it? And it may take several times of asking that question. But it definitely is a key part of moving forward.
Yeah. So I want to finish up here by asking a personal question. Mm-hmm. There's something that draws you to this work. I know you have a heart for people and a heart for the Lord because you're a pastor and you've done a number of different things in ministry. What is it about this particular role with Genesis Life Transitions and meeting with families? And I know you have other things that you do with other family structures and other ages and so forth. Mm-hmm. But for this one in particular, what is it about this that draws you?
Well, as a mediator, my focus, my passion is bringing relationships back together.
Okay.
And relationships with God. You know, He intended us to have good relationships with Him and with each other. And so that in my personal life and my own nonprofit, which I have is Return Ministries and Genesis Mediation and Genesis Life Transitions, is relationship, bringing that back together. That then is impacted by my own experience, much like yours, with parents who we made decisions for, not always the best decisions, and in hindsight, knowing how we could have done things better and perhaps prolonging their life or giving them more quality of life, to be honest.
Right.
And so that has to impact, you know, how we feel about bringing peace to our loved ones at the end of their life when they want nothing but peace and to see their families loving and honoring and respecting of each other and themselves.
So you go home feeling good after you've had a session like that with peace giving, peace recovering in a family setting. Presentations that you make at churches or care facilities or communities, then you feel like you've made a positive contribution to those families because of the relationships. I think that's so important to focus on that because, you know, nobody wants to die alone. No one wants to die separated from their family, you know, because of conflict or disagreements or whatever. You want to have that dignity and that peace in the and harmony in the family to the end.
Well, and the pain, if it's not dealt with, is so much greater emotionally after the fact, those that are left behind.
The regrets. Yeah. Mark, I want to thank you again for coming in. I hope you'll come in again today, again at another show, because what you're talking about is so very, very important. And I'm picturing you in a network of service providers that deal with the whole range of issues and transitions and everything else having to do with our aging loved ones. I'm going to get back to the quote because I know you agree with
this. I want
this.
To know.
Yes. And you agree with the quote, right?
Because, yes,
I mean,
definitely.
How many people have put off doing something and then they finally call you or contact you and it may or may not be too late, but you go there and you pick up the pieces and you make things better. So the quote is, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing you can do is the wrong thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing. I'm going to read the three clues again, and drum roll, going to get to the answer. Clue number one, this man was the youngest U.S. president, being inaugurated at age 42. Clue number two, tragedy struck his life early when his wife and his mother died the same day in the same house of totally unrelated medical causes. And here is clue number three. He developed a fascination with the world of nature very early in his life. At age 7, he learned taxidermy, opened his own little museum to the public, and at age 9, published a paper entitled The Natural History of Insects. There are many other clues that I could have given that would have given it away, but any guess at all? By the way, let me add this. He was the youngest to be inaugurated, but he wasn't elected. Until the next time there's someone else who was the youngest president elected. So this person was inaugurated the first time without having been elected. Okay, well, I won't put you on the spot anymore. The answer, the guy who said that is Theodore Roosevelt.
I was going to say that.
Were you? You should have.
Because I think the whole teddy bear thing.
Well, you don't win the prize then.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, folks, that's our show for today. Again, I want to thank Mark for coming in, Pastor Mark Durkoop with Genesis Life Transitions, and his service is available. And you want to find out more about it, get a hold of our website, secondhalfnow.com, send us an email or fill out the contact form or go to the phone line and leave a message at this local number, 971-229-1177. Thank you for listening today. This is a great program today. The content was very excellent. Appreciate Mark coming in. And we are Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. As we say, tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Critchett, along with Dr. Denise Lopez-Hogan, who was unavoidably detained. And so we'll catch her on the next show. So let's meet again next Monday, 5:30 to 6 p.m. right here on KKPZ 1330, The Truth.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan on KKPZ 1330, The Truth, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit secondhalfnow.com. That's secondhalfnow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com.